David's Daily Digital Dollop. Dollop 13. Ooh, unlucky. Will it be unlucky? Let's find out. Will this be the one that's rubbish? Well, I mean, you could argue that the ninth one was a bit rubbish, but... It's Dollop 13. It's called Blind Man's Hoof. Good play on words. Good opening. It's looking promising, isn't it? Yesterday's stats indicated that another person clicked the link taking them to the erotic fiction novel that I mentioned on Sunday's blog, bringing the total up to two people. Here's the link again in case you missed it, and of course on the website version of the blog, on the written version of the blog, there's a link to it. Please click on it because I've concocted a cunning plan whereby I boost the writer, Sarah Morgan's, sales so much that she gets in touch with me to thank me in person. Let's just say, if her books are anything to go by, I think she'll know exactly what to do to make it worth my while. Yes, I am 13 days into this consecutive blog post exercise, and I've reached the stage where I'm now asking my readers to help me have sex. So obviously you're listening to the podcast version of this, but please do go to the written version of this blog and click on the link. In fairness, I am giving these blogs away for free, so it's the least that you can do, really. Last night I had a dream in which I was having an argument with my ex-girlfriend. I can't remember what we were arguing about, but I do know that I was definitely right and she was most certainly wrong. The argument was getting quite heated and seemed to have been going on for some time. Eventually our verbal exchange reached its peak, and I think we might have been just about to reach the angry makeup sex stage. Of course, this coincided with my alarm going off. I think that my ex knew exactly what she was doing. The makeup sex idea was definitely engineered by her. In the dream, I thought that she was just being reconciliatory. But now that I see this in the light of day, I'm convinced that she knew exactly what she was doing, timing her amorousness deliberately to coincide with my alarm going off, giving her the last laugh and hammering the final nail in the coffin. But you'd have to ask her that if you really wanted to know. Although, trust me, she denied any of it ever happening and said that it was my own imagination just making it up. But again, that's just the kind of thing that she would say. And believe me, sneaking into her ex-boyfriend's dream to taunt him is precisely the kind of thing that she'd do. And I am not paranoid. I am not. Who said that? Shut up. I am not paranoid. However, the dream did give me a topic for this blog. I started thinking about how blindness influences the way that I behave when it comes to potential areas of conflict, such as an argument. Being blind can make it difficult to be charismatic or authoritative. If you can't see, then it seriously can impair your ability to make a dramatic exit. Let's use the example of a heated argument between a blind man and his partner. You've got away with this for far too long. Well, let me tell you, I don't need you anymore. I'm out of here, the blind man declares, his head held high in triumph. In truth, he was quite pleased of this passionate soliloquy. He'd made his point very well, very forcefully. Now, all he had to do was storm out of the room. That's what was needed now, a dramatic exit. So, with his head still held high, he walked in the direction of where the door was. Except, it wasn't. He crashed into the wall, bruising his chin. Maybe holding his head up high wasn't helping matters. He needed to focus his vision down, closer to the ground, because his eyes didn't focus properly at this height and angle. It was a shame to lose the head-held-high posture. He was pretty sure that it helped add extra indignation and charisma to his exit, but he was also aware that he was in serious danger of losing both of those things completely if he crashed into another wall. He needed to find the door, maybe make one final declaration. He quite liked the, I don't need you anymore, I'm out of here. He thought that was quite effective. He would show her. He would leave her with that ringing in her ears. He could just imagine her now, sobbing on the phone to her friends, reciting that line to them, barely able to say the words through her tears. And it would serve her right. But the door. He must find the door. They'd put it here somewhere. He could see a jet of light in the corner of his left eye, coming from across the other side of the room. That must be where the door is, he surmised. The glass panels of the door must be amplifying the light. All he needed to do was walk towards the light. Shit! He screamed. His nose was burning. The light was a candle. He brushed the hot wax off his nose. Ideally, he'd take some cold water to the burn, but there wasn't time for that. He realised that he was really starting to lose face here. He must find the door. Then he heard his girlfriend sigh wearily. She stood up, took his arm, and gently escorted him to the door. Well, that didn't go as well as he'd planned. But still, he was at the door now. All he needed to do was cry his ardent farewell and give the door a good slam behind him. Then he'd be out of that house and out of her life, and that would show her. He was at the door now. He unlinked his arm from hers, turned to face her, and yelled, "Yes, as I said, I don't need you anymore. I'm out of here." Yes, of course he was aware of the irony, but now that she'd guided him to the door, he didn't need her anymore. He grappled for the handle. Where was the sodding thing? After a few seconds of fumbling, his girlfriend gave another weary sigh and opened the door for him. Again, he became acutely aware of the increasing irony. Maybe he should shout that he didn't need her anymore again. After all, she'd taken him to the door and opened it for him, so now he didn't need her anymore. Yes, so, as I said, I don't need you anymore. I'm out of here. The words didn't sound quite as powerful and as sincere and as authoritative that time, did they? He thought. Still, he could reclaim the moment by giving the door a good slam behind him. He stepped out of the house and reached for the handle to give it one big, dramatic, final slam. But again, the handle completely eluded him. Where the heck was it? He fumbled for a while. He was losing the moment again. Aha! He found it. He grabbed the handle forcefully. He wanted to get a good angle, to make the slam as loud and as intense as he possibly could. But then he realised that the door was already shut. His girlfriend must have shut it gently behind him. Damn her! Well, he'd show her. But he'd just have to open the door and then slam it closed. Not as powerful an exit as he'd have liked, but better than nothing. Perhaps he should shout, "I don't need you anymore, I'm out of here," again. But maybe three times would be overkill. He took hold of the handle, pulled the door back open, and then slammed it shut again. In fairness, it was a pretty forceful slam. He was quite proud of it. It was a shame that it was seriously tempered by the debacle that had just preceded it, but at least he'd got the slam in. Now, all he had to do was just walk away. Except, oh no, he'd forgotten his cane. With all the drama, he'd completely forgotten about his cane. He couldn't go anywhere without it. There was nothing for it but to open the door and ask for it back. He opened the door again and diffidently cleared his throat. I need my cane. She sighed that weary sigh again and got to her feet. She handed him the cane. "But I don't need you anymore, and I'm out of here." But he knew it was useless. He'd lost the moment completely. This wasn't the charismatic, noble exit that he'd imagined. He knew he'd lost. "Okay, I'm sorry. I do need you. I do. I'm sorry. Please, take me back. I was wrong. I shouldn't have said those things. Of course you have a right to sleep with my best friend and my brother. And I was stupid to be upset about it. Please, don't leave me. I'm sorry. I do need you. I need you," he blurted. She gave one final weary sigh and he slumped back into the house. Obviously, this is an exaggerated scenario, but you get my point. It's difficult to adopt a position of authority, strength, and power when you know that you're going to have to ask that person to help you storm out. I'll end this blog post here, otherwise I'm in danger of burning my fish, which is not some strange kind of euphemism. I am just cooking some fish for our tea, and I need to go and take it out of the oven now. Perhaps I'll talk more about my fish-based meal in tomorrow's blog. Who knows? That is the delights of doing a daily blog. Anything can happen. But I'm afraid you'll have to wait until tomorrow to find out what. Oh, I hope he writes about his fish meal. Well, you'll just have to wait until tomorrow, my friends.